Next this afternoon, we have Miss Debbie Brott-Giles. She is the digital assets manager at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. She's helping develop a sound strategy for using the cloud for open data applications, moderate level data access, and cross-lab collaboration. She's more than 18 years of experience managing energy-related websites, applications, databases, and other information resources for the U.S. Department of Energy and the NREL. She is an energy data innovator who leads a talented team of leading-edge software developers with the goals of enabling open energy data access, improving data connections and collaboration, and helping transform our energy economy through informed decisions and data analytics. Please welcome Ms. Debbie Brott-Giles to Cloud Computing East.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Let me advance that. Okay, yep. So I think I'm coming at this from a little different perspective because I'm representing a national lab. The National Renewable Energy Laboratory is located in Golden, Colorado. We do a lot of work for the Department of Energy specifically. And anyway, so I'm basically a client of the cloud. So I'm not here to sell anything. I'm not a vendor. But we use the cloud today for some of our applications, and I wanted to come here to this conference because I wanted to learn from all these other vendors new approaches and new techniques and products that we can utilize on the cloud. So the topic areas that I'm going to talk about today are really, I'm going to give you a little bit of a background of our group because I think we're a unique group in a national lab. We're called the Data Analysis and Visualization Group, and we reside in the Strategic Energy Analysis Center. So the lab is very large. There's about 2,500 people at the lab, and we're in the Analysis Center, which is more than 100 people. Many of them are analysts and researchers and scientists, but my team is a team of software developers and cloud engineers and analysts as well, and we build really neat tools that are based on data and analytics, and we want to get that information out to the public to try to help inform decisions. So I'll explain a little bit why we're using the cloud, what types of projects make sense to go on the cloud, some of our lessons learned, because obviously we've been using it now for 5 years, and it hasn't always been smooth, so I think we have some lessons that we can share. And then we do have a process for getting applications onto the cloud that I'll share, and then a little bit about our general cloud strategy and next steps. So this is what our group looks like. We have our mission up there, but then basically what we do is we make really cutting-edge web tools, scenario viewers, dynamic maps, platform services, mobile applications, really to enable the folks in the green box, the analysts, the researchers, the policymakers, investors, entrepreneurs even, to evaluate their options in the renewable energy space. Assess policies, site projects, model markets, and things like that. So these are just some examples. I can't go into all of these, but we have many, many, many applications that we have been responsible for developing. In the GIS realm, we have lots of GIS applications. One is specific that we've created called OpenCardo, which is a geospatial analysis tool where we take a lot of complex data and we layer it on maps and we utilize it in analysis. And we do a ton of GIS work. Another one is the marketing enabling applications that we do. There's mobile applications like our alternative fuel station locator, which of course has lots of data behind it. The alt fuels data center in general with tons of data. And then we also provide APIs through something called developer.nrel.gov so we can get data out to the world. And then there's something that we call digital assets, and there's a bunch of tools related to that. And basically, when I say digital assets, it's once again data. So one of the projects I'm going to talk about today is OpenEI. It's an open data sharing platform. The point is to get that data out there, share the data with the world, and let them make intelligent decisions, build on that data, and it's all in accordance with the government open data policies. So why are we using the cloud? There's a lot of reasons why, and we've heard them all today. But for us, being a national lab, we typically have had to work within our bounds and our requirements that we have. But so going to the cloud enables us to be a little bit more fast. It's very reliable. I mean, a national lab, our IS department works about from 6 to 6. So they aren't there and they're not paid to be 24/7 staff members. But, you know, when we go to the cloud, we use Amazon. Amazon is there 24/7 and hopefully it's always up. It's scalable. So we're talking about a lot of data sometimes in the applications that we use. So we could scale up, scale down servers, whenever we need to. It's controllable. We have a team in our own group with cloud engineers. We have 3 cloud engineers that are dedicated to our team that work directly hand in hand with our software developers, and they're in control of the environment. We don't have to go through information services or anyone else. We are in control of our own applications. It's easy to monitor, it's redundant. A few years ago, we actually did have an issue when Amazon Web Services went down. And since then, now we're redundant. So we have instances on the West Coast and the East Coast to make sure that we're always up. It's accessible, which is very important because when we're talking about sharing open data with the world, we want that data to be openly accessible. When we're talking about sharing APIs, people are relying on those APIs and it can't go down. It's very easy to implement. Traditionally, if we were to ask our IS department for a server, it takes time. They hand build a server. It can take a week or more to get that server. But now it's easy. We can spin up a server when we need it to be, and we can provision it the way we need it to be as well. We've talked a little bit about high availability. There's energy efficiency savings, which is great. We're NREL. We care about that, so I like that. And then it's also cost effective. I think in general it's cost effective. I think the panel earlier was talking about, well, maybe not as cost effective as we all thought in the past. We definitely are seeing cost savings. Within our lab, though, OCIO will give us a server for free if we go that route. But we are choosing in many cases to go to Amazon and pay for the servers ourselves. And it's, in my mind, it's very cost effective. And the time that we save in general is also a big savings. And then it's continually upgraded. This is what they do well. And this is not what a national lab does well, right? We don't need to reinvent the wheel. We want to utilize what these cloud service providers have. So what could go on the cloud? I truly believe potentially anything. I want moderate data on the cloud. I want everything on the cloud. But the reality is that we are working very closely with our cybersecurity folks and our IS folks, and we, you know, are in agreement on what goes out there right now. And right now we have OpenEI, which is the open energy platform I talked about. It's a .org, so that's a nice, easy one that makes sense to go on the cloud. We have other .org sites out there also. And then we have smartgrid.gov, so that's a .gov site, and we do have that running on the cloud environment on Amazon as well. We're working right now, we actually have an ATO set up in our Amazon environment for smartgrid.gov, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. But we definitely have some lessons learned there. It's a little bit harder, and we don't get to use all of the efficiencies that Amazon provides when we're using the ATO, but we're working through those issues. So OpenEI, just so you kind of have a feel of what this is, it's a wiki-based open sharing platform. So it's a wiki, it's very much like Wikipedia. It's meant for crowdsourcing and collaboration and getting the word out and getting data out so people can use it. The foundation of the platform uses linked open data, which means that we put data in structured formats, make that data very easy to use and extend out to others to use. We have a big community of support around this. We have a number of domain experts that come and add to our platform on a daily basis. Let's see, we provide services so people can develop web applications based on our data. And then we can crowdsource data too, which is really neat. So these are some of the reasons why we've chosen to go to the cloud. I mean, there's no way that as a national lab we could be able to allow people to come into our infrastructure and crowdsource data, build data sets on a fly, or, you know, enter information into our wiki. So we really need to be out there on the cloud for this platform. And this platform, since its inception back in 2009, is very much in alignment with all of the open government and open data initiatives that are coming out from the White House and from the Department of Energy's EERE program. So we've been mentioned in the Open Government Plan and on the White House's website as being an innovative application. And so, and now we're part of their open data policies as well. So this is an example when I talked about linked open data, or LOD. This is our United States Energy Resources page. And this whole page is being built by pulling in information and data from other linked open data sources. Some of the data you see here is from the CIA World Factbook, EIA, REGAL, which is a policy and regulatory organization. And then we push out our energy information to those same entities. And so we're able to share this information. And the beauty is that when, say, the population of the US changes, I'm not responsible for that. Our lab, I'm not the domain expert for, say, our population. But the CIA World Factbook is. So we can rely on that data to be pulled in and updated on the fly. We also have something called a utility portal. So if you're interested in utility information, this is where you should go. But the interesting thing here is that we have a utility rate database that we have seeded. So it's truly a crowdsourced database that we have on our platform. And in March of 2013, 2012, we started this actually with some in-house interns. We knew that we wanted to start collecting utility rate information because people want that in their tools and models. But it really wasn't available in a machine-readable way. So we had our interns start to populate some of the data. And then, so this is a way to crowdsource and build a data set. So this is March 13th, and then March 29th, as you can see, the blue area started to expand and grow. And now, over time, this is December 3rd of 2012, and now this one is May 2014. We are now covered by 43,000 utility rates. And we are working in conjunction with Illinois State University. They're our subject matter expert here. So you guys could go in there, you can enter your own utility rates, or your utility may do that, and then Illinois State University kind of vets that information, make sure it's good information before it gets up on our platform. But this is just an example of why we need to be out there on the cloud to help crowdsource. And then the other project I wanted to touch on today was smartgrid.gov. So y'all, I'm sure, have been aware of the Recovery Act projects that are out there. This was a project where our team was slated to collect, manage, and store all of the data from the 132 utilities that were given Recovery Act funding to implement smart grid meters and infrastructure. So we have a mechanism to collect that information, and then the smartgrid.gov is where we showcase all of the public information. So this is our public-facing website. You can go here and learn about all the millions of dollars that was spent on smart grid and all of the great impacts that the programs are learning. So we have areas on smartgrid.gov that show data, raw data, that's being fed from our data hub, and you could learn about, you know, costs and investments and locations where those investments were made, et cetera. So this project here is the one I talked about earlier, where this is a .gov. We want this to be up all the time, accessible to the public. It's important information. It's important data people care about. And we're using the cloud for it. And so we have worked closely with our cybersecurity folks to get an ATO in place for this project. The ATO has been a little bit challenging just because, you know, in negotiations with cyber, we are actually utilizing a lot of our NREL products that we all have already purchased in-house. So it's kind of coming back through our firewalls and things like that. So anyway, the ATO is there. It's a little bit more difficult to use than any other, than just a regular AWS instance, but we're working through those issues, and I'm really hopeful that our ATO that we have in place for this can now be a turnkey solution for all other applications that we are that are coming down the pike. Because remember, I want to put everything on the cloud. So some of the lessons that we've learned over the last 5 years, because we have been on the cloud now for 5 years, you really have to think cutting edge and embrace new technologies. Our group is definitely unique in the National Lab. We are a small team of software developers that are always on the cutting edge, always on thinking of new things, and we want to share information and data as agile as we possibly can. So we're thinking on the cutting edge. We just need to get the whole organization thinking the same way we are. So we're working on an organizational strategy along with the OCIO office to come up with a strategy that NREL will be able to implement for the whole lab. And I really don't see that our administrative applications will probably ever go on the cloud. HR and payroll and all that stuff probably will stay within our own walls. But what I would like to see happen is all these applications that are really meant for the public be shared out there on the cloud, and we can be agile and go faster and make a bigger impact in the world. So our cloud solutions must be viewed as critical to both the success of .orgs and .govs. And I think we have plenty of information and data to support that, but it's just, once again, it's a learning curve for the whole lab. And then one of the other things that we've learned is that really, we need to utilize the cloud for what it's good for, and don't overcomplicate the integration back with our internal architecture. I think that traditional ways of doing things are still deeply embedded in the lab mentality, and they say, well, we've always done it this way, so okay, we'll let you go and we'll let you use the cloud, but you still have to come back through the firewall and do all these other things using our lab resources. And anyway, so I think it's a lesson learned that we need to kind of help expand that. And there's a lot of really good ways to utilize the cloud and make it very secure, just as secure, or even maybe more secure than our internal systems. And so I want to be able to explore that with IS. And then I want to also leverage investments in cloud solutions that are already there. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. So there's FedRAMP and there's other AWS products and a bunch of other things that I haven't listed there. But let's leverage the investments that are made by the people who are making a business out of this. We're a national lab. We do wonderful research in the laboratories, but we don't need to reinvent the cloud wheel. The ATO, we've definitely found adds complexity, but that's okay. We can overcome those complexities and make it work. And then I also feel that DevOps is really important. So our team we're a bunch of software developers, but like I said, we also have systems administrators working hand in hand with our developers. So in the same offices, right next to each other, we have our developers working with our system administrators, which makes it great. So we have the people who are domain experts and building the applications, working directly with the people who are managing the applications for us on the servers. And that, to me, has been the only way to go, really, if you want to be truly agile in development. And then I have a project right now, actually, with the Department of Energy, where we're looking to collect, manage, and store moderate-level data from a project. And so, and not only do we need to collect it, but we need to share it with other national labs and with the Department of Energy. So right now, we're searching for a solution that will allow us to have a moderate level ATO environment where we can actually share this data with our lab partners while the data is still under moratorium. So that's one of the reasons I'm here too, is to search for good solutions for that. Right now, our cloud solution process is pretty simple. A project will come in, and we'll kind of evaluate it. If it's a .org, I think it's been a no-brainer. It can go on the cloud, in my mind. If it's a .gov, we kind of ask, is it open data or is it not open data? And I think, once again, if it's open data, I'd like to utilize our ATO and put all .gov applications on the cloud. In the case of the moderate data project I was just talking about, I don't think it's a no. I think we can do it. I just need to find the right solution to make sure that we're securing moderate data properly on the cloud. And then the little blue box in the bottom right just kind of describes again how our team has our own cloud systems engineers co-located with our developers. And we work very closely with OCIO in their separate organization. So basically, the next steps that we're looking at is we want to complete the automation and monitoring tasks that are in our current ATO environment. The ATO is set up, it's approved, all that, we're using it, but it's not quite automated and monitored to our liking. So we'd like to make that be more of a turnkey process so that other .gov applications can come to us and say, okay, we want to put this one on the cloud, and we can say, great, we have a strategy, we have the ATO, we have the monitoring and automation all set up for that. We also would like to house moderate data, which I've talked about, and we are working on a solution for that right now. And then we're going to create this organization-approved cloud strategy. And you know, I think that we're on different ends of the spectrum right now. My team is on the cloud, and we've been working there for 5 years. And IS is saying, well, we'll have to come up with a strategy to see how we're going to work on the cloud. And we said, that's great, but we're already there. So we're trying to come up with an organizational strategy that meets our needs, the needs of IS, and everyone in between. And then we also, the next big step for us is actually tackling big data or complex data. Big data gets thrown around a lot, and in our world, we've started to call it complex data. So we want to be able to find affordable storage with quick access for analysis utilizing the cloud, because that's what we're all about, using big data or data in general to help people make decisions. So I think that's the end. Thanks.